1 Samuel. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're going to start reading in verse number 25 of 1 Samuel, 9th chapter. When they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. And they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day, that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, "Up, that I may send thee away." And Saul rose, and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel, abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Bid the servant pass on before us." And he passed on. "But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God." Notice over in 119th Psalm, I want to read one more verse of Scripture, 119th Psalm, verse number 6, and I'll read it. "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, I want to thank you for the precious Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for this opportunity you've given us this morning. Thank you for the Sunday school classes. Thank you, Father, for the children's churches that are going on at this time. I pray for those that are conducting those, and Lord, that you'll use them greatly as they bring forth God's Word. I pray for this service here, Father, that you also will work mightily in this service. The will of God would be done. I need your help today. I ask you for your power, your wisdom, and I ask you to do all things in such a way as would glorify you. And we'll thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. Samuel was just preparing to anoint Saul the king of Israel, the very first king of Israel. And as he finished his communion with him, you'll notice in that very last verse of Scripture, he had one thing to say to him. He told him to let the servant that was with him pass on, and the Bible says he passed on, he went on, and Samuel had something he wanted to say to Saul very privately. And he simply said this, "But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God." He knew and understood that if Saul was going to be king of Israel, there was one thing he was going to have to know, and that was the Word of God. He was going to have the Word of God by him continually, and that was the commandment given to us back in Deuteronomy for any king, that they should have the Word of God beside them so that they might read it and might understand it and so might abide by it. So Samuel understood that if there was anything that Saul needed at this time, he certainly needed the Word of God. We find also in the verse number 6 of Psalms 119, he talked about, "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." The psalmist is telling us there the very importance of having respect to the Word of God. In other words, giving the Word of God first place in our life, understanding that the Word of God is what we must attain to, we must listen to, we must allow it to teach us. It's what we must follow in life. In fact, I feel like that Christians, when they finally come to that place in their life, when they believe all the Scriptures is the Word of God, they've given respect to the fact that the Bible is God's Word. Every single verse, every single word, every single jot and tittle is the Word of God. Their faith will have grown tremendously. And you'll find out that they'll begin to have some joy in their life concerning their salvation, because they'll be able to realize and understand that the Bible, what it says is multitudes in it, is promises of God's Word. And they're promises that God wants us to claim. They're ours. And that puts a joy in our heart like nothing else will. Not only that, I believe this. I believe that when people understand the Bible, that's what we're going to be preached to you this morning about is the Bible. And when we understand the Bible and the cost that Jesus paid for the church, I believe that people will begin to love the church as they should love the church. When they truly understand what it took Jesus to purchase our salvation, his precious shed blood on Calvary's cross, I believe people will have a deeper love for the church and for the brethren in the church. I believe at that time when they began to understand that the Bible is God's Word and they need to follow it and they need to believe it, I believe they'll begin to have more of an effective witness to those around them, because their witness will become real. It won't be something that is put on. Won't be something that is just they do as because it's commanded in the Bible. But it'll be something that comes naturally to them, and it'll just absolutely be a part of their life. When they really get to that place where they understand the truths of God's Word. You know, I believe that old saying, you know, the Bible, some folk, one man said a long time ago, God said it, that settles it. I believe that too. Whatever God said, that simply settles it. It's done, it's completed. I want to read to you just a little thing here about the Bible, and then we'll begin our message. But it says, when I am tired, the Bible is my bed. Or in the dark, the Bible is my light. When I am hungry, it is vital bread. Or fearful, it is armor for the fight. When I am sick, 'tis healing medicine. Or lonely, thronging friends I find therein. If I would work, the Bible is my tool. Or play, it is a harp of happy sound. If I am arrogant, it is my school. If I am sinking, it is solid ground. If I am cold, the Bible is my fire. And it is wings if boldly I aspire. Should I be lost, the Bible is my guide. Or naked, it is raiment rich and warm. Am I imprisoned, it is ranges wide. Or tempest tossed, a shelter from the storm. Would I adventure? 'Tis a gallant sea. Or would I rest? Is a flowery lea. Does gloom oppress? The Bible is a sun. Or ugliness? It is a garden fair. Am I athirst? How cool its currents run. Since thus thou givest of thyself to me, how should I give myself, great book, to thee? It's the Bible, God's holy word. I want to just bring a message this morning, talk to you about the Bible this morning, how important it is. There's a lot of controversy. I'm not going to get into controversy. We believe here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church, we take the King James Version, the old King James Version, that's what we use. Amen. That's what we're going to do from now on. We're not going to change down the road. We're not going to change it over to something else. So there's a lot of controversy out there. I'm not going to deal with the controversy this morning. I just want to talk to you about the Bible, the wonderful Word of God, and what it can mean to your life, what it'll do for you in your life. It's a wonderful, wonderful book, folk. We need to love it. We need to appreciate it. We need to do what it says. First of all, I just want to share with you that the Bible is a living book. I want to tell you that the Bible is a book that absolutely takes the plan of salvation and explains it. If you'll take the Bible, the Word of God, you will know how to be saved. It explains it very simply and puts it down very simply that it's by faith we are saved. The Bible does that. There's no other way that we could ever know how to be saved except through God's Word, the wonderful Bible, the Word of God. It's not a book of history. It's not a book of science. It may have contained in them all of those things. But it is a wonderful book that's given to us about a lot of things. But basically, it deals with man's salvation. That's what he intends to deal with throughout the whole book, telling us how we can be saved and what God done for us. Now, I'm glad he puts in the book history. Historians have learned a lot from the Bible. I'm glad he's got in there science. Scientists have learned a lot from the Bible. And it doesn't change the Bible whatsoever. God's Word is always, always the same. But it's a book that exposes Satan and gives us a picture of what Satan is trying to do. It tells us exactly his plan for us and in the future and what he did back there in his fall from heaven. It's all there. We don't have to guess about this matter. We don't have to think of what happened back in the past. We already know because the Bible explains it. We know by the Bible that Satan hates us. He despises us. He wants every individual person upon the face of this earth to go to hell with him, and that's where he's going to end up at, in the lake of fire. And he wants all to go with him, so we don't have to wonder about his plan, because it's all explained in the Bible. We know exactly all about it. We know about sin. We know what sin done to humanity, as we'll discuss in just a moment. But sin is a horrible, terrible thing, and it brought the downfall of man. We know that because the Bible tells us that. We know also the book, the Bible, is a book that exalts Jesus Christ. If I today could get any point over to you and to me this morning is, we need to exalt Jesus Christ. We need to lift His name up. We need to honor Him and praise His name and do everything we can to exalt His precious name here this morning. If Jesus Christ is not exalted, we have failed this morning. And we must exalt Him. Well, the Bible continually exalts Jesus Christ. You know, I know that people come into our services, and we all are different individuals. We've all this week went through different things, and certain things has happened to you, and certain things has happened to me, and all these things has taken place in the personal lives. Some people has been in the hospital. Our grandson Michael was in the hospital this week and had an operation, and he's out. He's doing fine. I just got word a while ago that Tina ended up in the hospital last night somewhere. Is that right, Tina? We don't know from day to day what's going to face us. We don't know those things, and we don't know how that affects us as we gather together on a Sunday morning. But we know this. There's one thing that we all ought to keep in mind. There's one thing we ought to do, and that's exalt Jesus Christ. As we gather this morning, it ought to be in your heart, in my heart, that as we walk out of here this morning, we would have been a part of exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this morning, for as we know right now, there's going to be two that's followed the Lord in baptism this morning. That's a marvelous, wonderful thing. Well, brother, let me tell you something. That's not just something to brag for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. That's to brag on Jesus for. Jesus done a marvelous thing when He saved their souls, and now they're going to follow the Lord in baptism. We had four that was baptized last week, and we want Jesus glorified and honored. That's what it's all about. That's the purpose of it, you see. So this Bible is a book that tells us how to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. The Bible will do that. You hear your pastor over and over talk about, let's get back to the Bible. Well, that's why we got to get back to the Bible. We've just got to get back, follow the Bible, follow its precepts, do everything that the Bible says. If we're off in an area, let's get back to the Bible. Amen. Let's do what it says, because we want to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. We also know that the Bible is a book that gives us light. Oh my, you know, I'm reminded of a story that I had read some time back, and it was talking about way back there when the trains, this little girl was traveling with her mother on a train. They was in this car, and all at once the conductor came through, and it was back then when they didn't have the electric type lights system, but they had lights in there hanging on the walls, and the conductor was coming through and lighting each individual light as he came through the car. The little girl looked up to her mother, and she said, "Mama," said, "why is that man doing that? What's that train man doing that for?" And she said, "It is the middle of the day. It is light out. It's bright, sunshiny out." So why is he lighting those lights? And she said, her mother said to her, said, "Honey, just wait a few minutes here and you'll find out why." It wasn't long. They came to a long tunnel that went through the mountain. And she found out why, because she needed that light, because that old dark tunnel was there and they wouldn't have been able to see in that dark tunnel. Do you understand, do you realize that God has lit the lights of His Word for your dark tunnels? Don't you understand that God has given us all this wonderful Bible, the Word of God? So down the road, you look at it sometimes, you'd say, "Why do I need this? Why is this so important to me? Why is God telling me that?" Well, there's a dark tunnel down the road, and He's lighting the lights. And when you get to that dark tunnel, He's got that light lit of His Word, and He'll help us, and it'll strengthen your faith, you see, in those dark times of life. Because, folks, let me assure you, everyone has them. Everyone has those dark times of life, and you need the light of God's wonderful Word, you see, at that time. So the Bible is a book that gives us light. It tells us. Helps us to understand what happened. Way back in the beginning of time, in the days of Adam and Eve, sin came upon all men. We understand the depravity of the human individual. Every single one of us is depraved. In other words, every single one of us is lost. We're sinful. We understand that. Why? Because the Bible says that. When you have trouble with areas of your life, don't you understand? It's because that old human nature that is still there with you. We have a new nature, but that old human nature is still there with you. Well, you can go to the Bible and understand, why am I having so much trouble with this? Because you know what the Bible says about it. It tells us about the old depraved nature of man. Not only that, this Bible here, it tells us about the Savior who came to die on the cross of Calvary and deliver us from that old depraved nature. And not only to die, but to be buried and rose again. It tells us that Jesus Christ has delivered us from all of that. If you're a Christian here this morning, you understand who you live with every day of your life. It's kind of tormenting sometimes, isn't it? Amen? I mean, it's difficult sometimes to live with that guy or that lady every day of your life. You know why? Because it's an old depraved human being. That old depraved body is there. And we had to fight so many difficult trials and persecutions and things. But Jesus has come to deliver. And the Bible tells us that. The Word of God just lays that out very plain, that Jesus is the deliverer. He's paid the cost on Calvary. You see, for us, you see. And not only that, the Bible gives light to the fact that all of the terribleness of being lost. How horrible it'll be to die in our sins. The Bible tells us that. You see, people want to mock the Bible because they don't want to be exposed by the Bible. But the Bible is very plain. Every person that's not saved is going to end up in a lake of fire. That's just plain truth from the Bible. Amen? I mean, you don't have to wonder about that. You don't have to ask anybody else. Go to the Bible and see what the Bible says, because the Bible says if you die in your sins, you see, you'll spend an eternity in a devil's hell forever and ever, lake of fire. You see, that, why? Because the Bible tells us that. He makes it very plain, makes it very clear. There's no doubt about it whatsoever. So this is a book that gives light upon all of these things. It tells us that after we die, if we die without Christ, we're lost forever, you see. People's trying to explain that away, trying to say God would not do that, that God is a loving God, and He would not send anybody to hell. Folks, you get in your Bible and see what God said about it. What did God say about it? Oh, yes, you must be born again, God said. You have to be born again, or you can't see the kingdom of God. So what He's telling us is the Bible is our light. And it shines upon our life and tells us and gives us the way of salvation. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. Not only that, the Bible is a forever book. The Bible tells us over in 1 Peter, he says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. I mean, God's word will never, ever cease. It's forever. I don't know if you can or not, but I can't imagine anything that's going to be forever. I know I'm going to be forever, but it's hard for me to imagine it. It's just hard for me to put it into my mind and say, boy, I'm going to be forever. Can you imagine that? I mean, never know death. Never. But the Bible is a forever book. It's a book that's going to be absolutely, it will endure forever and ever. You know, you've probably heard of Voltaire. He was known, or he was made famous because he was an atheist. And he made a statement way back in 1770 somewhere. I can't remember the year, but he made a statement back then. He said, the Bible in a few years will be gone. He said, it'll be nothing but a book in a museum. Now, that's what he said. Voltaire said that, you know. But he forgot that all of the years before that, from the beginning of the Old Testament and into the New Testament, it had always been. And it always will be. And now, a lot of you out there today, when I said, Voltaire, you didn't even know who I'm talking about. He's the one that's in the Museum of Lost People. Amen. He's stored away somewhere down in the pits of hell, you see. That's where he is. And people don't know who he is. Most folk don't know who he is. Couldn't care less who he is. But the Bible's still here. And the Bible always will be here, you see. And so we need to remember this is a lasting book. It's a forever book. I mean, there'll never be a day when the Bible won't be there. It'll be there in eternity. You see, God's Word. You see, it's God's Word, and so it'll always, always be there. It has stood the test of fire. I mean, rulers and people who have hated the Bible. They've tried to gather as many Bibles together and burn them. And when they take knives and want a pen knife, remember the Bible, that guy wanted a pen knife, the Word of God out, and he just took it and pen knifed up, threw it in the fire. You know, it didn't do any good. You don't destroy the Bible. It stood the test of all of those things. You can burn it. You can do whatever you want to with it, but you're not going to destroy the Bible because it's God's book and it's God's Word, and the Bible says it endures forever and ever and ever. You might destroy one Bible, but you're not going to destroy God's Word. And they've been trying to do that, of course, for years and years. But it's a lasting book. And even the fact that it still remains is vindication to the Bible that it's God's Word. No, he doesn't need that vindication, but we can look at it and say, it's still here. It's the Word. The same thing, you can do the same thing with Israel. Folks, a little nation over there, and I've told you before, I just love to look at a map. I go down there on that globe once in a while. They got down to school, and I'll just roll that thing around, look at it, find Israel, and say, ha, there it is, still there. Still there. Yeah, they people have tried to destroy the Israelite people and tried to destroy the Jews and get rid of them and kill them by the millions, you know, and all those things, but they're not going to get rid of the Jew because it's the promise of God. Israel will always be. You see, it's always will, you see, because it's a promise of God. It's not we've done away with. When God does something, God promised something, it'll always be. His Word is an enduring book. It's an everlasting book. And it always will be. Amen. So you can't get rid of it. You see, no matter what they do, or anybody tries to do, you're not going to get rid of it. But at the same time, I realize also that the Bible is a book that's hated. I mean, there's people who hate the Bible. You know, I can't remember the name of the, maybe somebody in here can, but the leader of the Romania back when it was a communist nation. It hadn't been that many years back. And he was the last one before the Iron Curtain fell. I can't remember his name. Maybe you can. Maybe I can't remember it. Anyway, he to get favored nation status from the United States, he agreed to have a shipment of 10,000 Bibles sent to his country. He agreed to that and received them. As soon as he got them, he had the orders made out for them to go over to a paper mill where they was ground up or whatever they do with them and turned into toilet paper. God's truth. Now, it wasn't very long after that. When I say that, I don't know whether it was in a year or sometime like after that, his own people slew him and hung him up. You see, he's gone, but the Bible's still here. You know what's going on in Romania now today? There's missionaries all over Romania today. Amen. Preaching the Bible, the Word of God. You see, he hated it. He was going to destroy it. He was going to have it ground up, destroyed, but he didn't destroy the Bible. You don't destroy the Bible. He got destroyed. So there's always people who hate it. There's professors in colleges today that hate the Bible. There's school teachers in schools today that hate the Bible. They don't want it in their presence. They don't even want to talk about it unless it's in some way to lambast it. But I say to you, they don't take that Bible. Professors don't take that Bible and hold it up and say, this is the Word of God. See, that's what we ought to be doing in our schools today, in all of our schools, no matter what schools it is, we ought to be holding that up and say, this is the Word of God, young people. You follow the Bible, the Word of God. But see, that's not done. Professors today hate that Bible. Then they want to give it, well, we can't bring the Bible in. Yes, you can too. You can too. That's silliness. We had somebody tell us not very long ago, said we just do the things we're supposed to do. If we want to have prayer, we have prayer. If we want to look at the Bible, we look at the Bible. We just do what we need to do. See, it all comes down to the heart. See, these professors don't want to hear it because they don't believe the Bible. They don't want nothing to do with it, you see. They hate that book. But God loves his Word. It's his book, you see. And the Bible ought to be your strength. Not only that, we find that there's all kinds of people out there. There's professional people. There's all kinds of the common people that just don't like the Bible. They don't want anything to do with the Bible. Basically, when it comes right down to it, the reason folk don't want the Bible is because it exposes them. The Bible exposes them where they're at as far as salvation is concerned. It also exposes them about what sin they're committing. You know, you get in the Bible, you'll be surprised what it does. I mean, that thing exposes all of us. I mean, it just puts a hammer on us. Amen? It just tells us where we're at real quick. I mean, we don't have to go very far. The Bible find out what sin is. Amen? So we just, the people don't want the Bible. They don't want it around them because it exposes them. Not only that, it tells them of their destiny. They don't want to hear that. You see, they don't want to hear that God says in His Word that that people who do not believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, receive Him by faith, is going to an eternal death, an eternal lake of fire forever and ever. And they don't want to hear that. They just want to put it out of their minds. You see, so it's a hated book, you see. It exposes them, and it also, Satan hates it. I think about this a lot. Satan hates it. We talked earlier about how that it exposes Satan and tells of Satan's plan. He hates that. See, that's why he don't want you to go out here and telling people about that. He don't want you knocking on the door and telling someone about Christ and what Satan wants for them. Satan wants to hates them and despises them and all that. He don't want that. You see, he hates the Bible. He hates the Word of God. So it's a hated book, but also, let me say to you, it's a loved book. It's a book that's loved by God's people. There was a little boy that he'd just gotten a new watch. He was about 5 or 6 years old. He was just so proud of that watch, and he was going around looking at it, just looking over and over at it, you know. And some man stopped him and said, "You got a new watch there, didn't you, son?" He said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "Is it a good watch?" He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "That's the best watch." He said, "It's a good watch." And he said, "Well, let me ask you a question." He said, "Does it tell you the time?" And then that little boy looked up at him and said, "No, sir, it doesn't." He said, "You've got to look at it." He said, "You've got to look at it. It don't tell you the time. You've got to look at it. This don't just automatically tell you the truth of its word. You've got to look at it." Amen. I mean, you've got to look at it. I mean, you've got to read it. It won't do any good if you don't read it, you see. I mean, you just go sit there on your coffee table or your shelf in your house or wherever it might be. It ain't going to do any good. It's not going to tell you anything until you pick it up and read it. Yeah. Amen. So the Bible, you see, is a love book by God's people. You have to be redeemed before you love the Bible. You're not going to love the Bible, not really as love it as you should, until you're redeemed, until you're born again, until you're God's child. You're just not going to love it. It's not going to mean anything to you. You're not going to have to understand it. You're not going to want it. You're not going to desire it, because the person who is saved has a spiritual appetite in him. He may have times when he don't read the Bible like he should. He gets all busy and all those things, but there is an appetite in him because he wants the Bible. He wants the Word of God. He wants it taught to him. You see, he wants to read it. You see why? Because he loves it. And not only because he's redeemed, but because he's become a son. He's the Son of God who wrote this thing. That's my Father who wrote this. Amen. It's a marvelous, wonderful thing. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. And I like the Bible. And maybe this is selfish. I mean, really. But I like the Bible. I like to read about rewards I'm going to get. Especially that reward of heaven. I like that. Well, I like reading about it. That God's going to take me to heaven one time. I like to read about the rapture. I like to turn and just read about the rapture. Just read over. Man, one of these days, gone. I mean, I like to read about that. That's exciting. That's a wonderful thing. You see, so the Bible is loved by those who love the Bible, who love God. Amen. You see, if you don't love God, you're not going to love His Word. You're not going to love the Bible very much. See, but it's a love book. It's a hated book, but it's a love book with God's people. It's important to us. We know the promises of God's Word are there, you see. Not only that, we know that it's a true book. Boy, I tell you, there's nothing in it that's not true. I know when I read the Bible, I know that whatever it says is true. I don't have to doubt about that. I don't have to wonder, I wonder if this is true. I wonder if that's really what God meant. No, God meant what He said. You know, if God meant something else, He could have very easily wrote down what He meant. So he just wrote down what he meant, and it's true. See, when he tells me about Satan, how wicked he is, and all those things, I know it's true. I know where lies come from because the Bible says so. I know where adultery comes from because the Bible says so. I know where gossip comes from. Bible tells me so. I know where all those things come from. Bible tells me so. You see, you read the Bible, you know these things. Amen. And the Bible is always true, no matter what it is. He tells us it's true about Satan. It's true about sin. It tells us that all sin is against God. Did you know that? The Bible teaches us that. The Bible says, first of all, the sin is against God. We're trying to go around and make some excuse that our sin was not against God. Our sin was against somebody else. Oh, No. It's first sin. It's sin is always against God first. David said that back in Psalm 51. It's always against God, first of all. See, against God. Amen. Tells us the truth. How do we know that? Because the Bible says so. See, Bible is always true, you see. Not only that, it tells me how Jesus Christ suffered for my sins. And I know that's true. I can't imagine it. I don't understand it. But I know it's absolutely true that Jesus went to that cross and suffered an eternity of suffering for me and you. He did that for us. Horrible suffering that I can't even imagine. Not only the physical suffering, but the spiritual suffering of taking the sin upon himself who had no sin. I can't imagine all that. But I know it's true. Because the Bible tells me about that. And I know also because he suffered and died and was buried and rose again, I have salvation. You do too if you're saved. You've got salvation. You're God's child. You've got salvation, folks. It's forever. Amen. That's marvelous. See, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And the Bible tells me that. So it's where I get my strength. That's where I know why I'm going to heaven, you see. From the Bible, the Word of God, you see. And then, of course, not only that, we know who our Savior is. We know it's Jesus Christ. We talked about that earlier. But there's none other that could save us. None. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No, it's Jesus Christ. You see, it's Him that saves us. It in your church, it in your baptism, it in your good works, it in anything. It's Jesus that saves you. Amen. How do you know that, Brother Rose? Because the Bible tells me so. Word of God tells me so. And I can just grasp a hold of that and know it's true. See, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to fret. Whatever God says is true, you see. So it's a book that is absolutely true, you see. You know, when they talk about this evolution and this creation thing, I just laugh at that thing. See, don't make any difference what other people say. Don't matter what anybody said. Don't make any difference what I say or anybody else. Bible says it's true, you see. So we know that, you see. And so I know all about the curse that was put on humanity. I know all about that sin curse was put on humanity. Why? Because the Bible says. I also know about the cross that took care of that curse. Amen. Amen. You see, I know that. Why? Because the Bible. Bible said that, you see. And so I know also that anything God said, I know anything in the past is always true that God said. I know anything in the present God said, He still means it. I know anything in the future, I don't have to worry about the future because it's in God's hands. Why? The Bible tells me that. Now, I don't know whether that's encouraging you, but that's encouraging me. That really encourages me just to know God said it and it's done. And it don't make a difference what anybody said. I don't care what any professor says or some person who thinks he's smart said. It don't mean God said it. It's done. It's complete. Amen. So you can trust the Bible. Amen. Because it's God's wonderful word. Not only that, I want you to go with me over to 2 Peter. Second Peter, the first chapter, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You see, the Bible tells me that His Word is the holy, literal Word of God. You don't add to it, you don't take from it. He means exactly what He said. And it is God's Word. When you deal with the Bible, you're dealing with God's Word. Something God had written. He used man to write it, but He's the one that wrote it. It came from God Almighty. It came upon men who were moved by the Holy Spirit of God as they wrote. And what I'm simply saying to you is, there's all kind of people out there that's going to put doubt in your mind about the Bible. Or they'll try to, put it that way. Don't ever worry about it. Don't you understand that on Sunday mornings, we do that in Sunday school. Some people may think, well, it gets repetitious. But I like opening up our Bible and singing about the Bible. I just like holding it up and singing about it. We sing about the B-I-B-L-E. Amen. Oh, it's a Bible. Once in a while, I'll stop and say, now, whose word is this? They'll say, it's God's word. Yes, is it all true? Yes, it's all true. What if somebody says it isn't? Well, they're liars. I want you to know something. They are. This is the Bible. It's God's word. Everything in it is true. Amen. You trust the Bible. This is Word of God sent to us. You say, explain it to me. How did God do it? I don't have to explain anything. God just says it's His Bible. It's His Word. All He did was this. He moved upon men of God. The Holy Spirit of God moved upon them. They wrote accordingly as God gave it to them. And it is all God's Word. Every bit of it, every jot and tittle of it is the Word of God. You don't have to worry about it. Young people, you can just, it's your guide for life. You don't have to worry about it. Take the Bible and just believe the Bible. Don't believe what other people say about the Bible. Just take the Bible and say, look, what does it say? All right, that's what it means. It's what God means. See, the Holy Spirit of God hovered over every word, made sure it was pinned down just exactly the way God said. So you don't have to worry about that. So what I'm saying to you this morning is this. You know, it's the Bible, and God says in His Word, I don't know your spiritual condition, but I do know this. The Bible says in His Word, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. You know, back, a week or so ago, my wife and I took a little nostalgic journey. We do that once in a while. Well, you do that or not, but we do. We like kind of drive back and look back in time a little bit. And we drove by where I was born, and the house is still sitting. Can't imagine it, but it's still there. House is still sitting there. There's a Pennsylvania railroad track used to run right in front of it. We was out in the country, and Pennsylvania run right in front of it. They've taken the tracks out and all that. They've taken out, but that house is still sitting there. And so I kind of went up the road a little bit and got out, went up on the berm there where the tracks was and looked around how things had changed, and looked, and there was two trees that was there when I was a boy up by the house that I climbed in. They were still there, still hanging in there. And the big old trees and just, monstrous things had to be, you know. But anyway, but I kind of enjoyed doing that once in a while. But I was born in that house. I wasn't born in the hospital. I was born right there in that house. Now I can go back and look at that house and say, you know, my mama gave birth to me right there inside that house. Amen. My mom and daddy raised me right there. I can look at a physical place and know that's where I was born, that's where I was raised, and thank God for it. Well, I can't do that spiritually except to go back to the place where it took place. I can't show you the new birth. I can show you me. I was born August the 15th, 1939. I was born then. I know, but you can see that I was born. Basically, you can't see the new birth. I know you might see the effects of it, but you can't see the new birth. 1966, in April, this month of April, 1966, I was born again. Now, what I'm saying to you folks is this. You must be born again. Why? Because the Bible says so. You see, He's not playing games with us. In fact, He's doing everything He can to help us. You must be born again. Amen. If you're not born again, you have no hope of heaven. See, this is not something to condemn you or get all over you for, make you feel bad. It's something to help you to understand you must be born again. You must be saved. In 1966, a little church called Rock Run Baptist Church, I could take you within 2 or 3 feet of where I knelt in that church and show you where I knelt and asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I'm just saying to you, you may not have all the little details, you may not have the feet down and all them kind of things, but you ought to remember a time when you can look back and you know you came to Christ and you made Him your Savior. Now, you ought to know that, you see. And I'm saying today, if you don't, wouldn't this be a great day for you to just come forward, hear the invitation, and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? See, God loved you. He tells us that in the Bible. Jesus died for us. He tells us that in the Bible. He tells us we're sinners. Yes, the Bible says that. We're going to hell if we don't get saved. The Bible says that. But we can go to heaven if we'll just receive Christ as our personal Savior. The Bible says that. And that's what I wanted you to know this morning. The Bible is trustworthy. It's the precious book. It's the precious Word of God. If you're unsaved here this morning, I trust that you'll come and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Christians, the Bible is our word. It's what we go by. There's a need in your life. God has the answer for it in His Word, the Bible. Please bow your head, please. Close your eyes. Right before I pray, I want to ask you a question. You say, Pastor Ross, I heard what you said this morning about the Bible, and I don't believe I'm saved. I don't believe if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure of my salvation like you said you was, that you remembered a time, a place when you got saved. I don't remember that, and I'm not sure I'm saved, but I sure would like to know. Would you just raise your hand, please? Raise your hand, you put it right back down. Say, I would like to know. Christian says this morning, say, Brother Ross, you know, God touched my heart. Because I know it, the Bible is God's Word. I haven't maybe been reading it like I should, but I know it's true. And I just want to get back to the promises of God's Word, and I need to give it more attention in my life. Say, Brother Ross, I want you to pray for me that I'll do that. Anyone, please. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We'll give the Bible the attention we ought to give it so it'll help us in our daily life. Let's pray, Father. I certainly thank you again today for the wonderful grace of God. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Thank you for who you are, and thank you, Father, for the Bible, the Word of God. Praying, Lord, for those who said they just need to give more attention to your Word and let it be a blessing into their life. You help them, Lord. You guide and direct them, encourage their hearts. Lord, if there's anyone here that just didn't lift up their hand and say, I'm lost, I'm not sure of salvation, I pray you'd give them the courage to do so in this invitation, that they'd come forward and receive you as personal Savior. This invitation in your hands, we ask you to do accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen.